And good evening and welcome to a special edition of Hannity's America, Obama and Friends, the History of Radicalism. Now, tonight, we are bringing you an entire hour of Barack Obama's questionable relationships. Now, we'll have exclusive information never revealed before about his ties to controversial people and radical groups. Now, first on the rundown, Barack Obama and his mysterious college years.
Barack Obama is said to be a great speaker.
Tonight I speak to you not as a candidate for president.
A politician with impressive oratory skills.
And that's what I intend to do.
But there's one thing the articulate and well-spoken presidential candidate is mum about, and that's his college years. Now we know he spent 2 years studying in California at Occidental College, about which he told Newsweek magazine, quote, "The 2 years I spent there were a dead end." Then he moved on to New York and Columbia University. And that's where the roadblock begins. It seems he's gone to great lengths to keep his college years a secret. One of the few details that Obama mentions about his time in New York is his roommate, a Pakistani he calls Sadiq, in his book.
He was dabbling in cocaine at the time he was living with Obama. Siddiqui maintains that they did not do drugs together.
Obama has admitted that he too dabbled in drugs.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze, drank beer heavily, and tried drugs enthusiastically.
But he says he stopped shortly after his father's death. Now Fox News tracked down Sadiq, whose real name turned out to be Sehol Siddiqui, but he refused to talk to us. David Bossi of Citizens United believes that when it comes to answering questions involving his controversial past, for Obama, it's business as usual.
Barack Obama definitely has something to hide.
Many believe it was during these formative college years that his radical beliefs and relationships began.
Barack Obama and Barack Obama's campaign will not release any information on his time at Columbia or Harvard, and will not allow Columbia or Harvard to release any information. So we're really dealing with, with very limited information.
Even the Obama-friendly New York Times has reported that, quote, Obama declined repeated requests to talk about his New York years, release his Columbia transcript, or identify even a single fellow student, co-worker, roommate, or friend from those years. One of the most sought-after pieces from Obama's college past is his senior thesis. Try and find that, and you'll come up with the same thing. Nothing.
No one has found a copy of it. We have not been able to uncover it, and we've actually put ads in newspapers trying to find it.
So why wouldn't Obama want us to see his thesis?
The title of his senior thesis was Soviet Nuclear Disarmament in 1983. At the height of the Cold War, at the time, the very time President Reagan was putting forth policies of peace through strength. What did Barack Obama believe? And this is, comes at the same time where he would say, that he says he would sit down unconditionally with North Korea, with Iran.
The notion that somehow not talking to countries is punishment to them, which has been the guiding diplomatic principle of this administration, is ridiculous.
So what is Obama trying to hide? Is he afraid his Columbia transcript and his senior thesis will reveal average grades, or is he trying to hide a blossoming radical philosophy? And what about his time at Harvard? We know that Obama became president of the Harvard Law Review, but we know very little else about his time at the prestigious law school.
We don't have a copy of anything at the Harvard Law Review with Barack Obama's name on it.
And how did he get into the ultra-exclusive Harvard Law School anyway? Percy Sutton, who's a former borough president of Manhattan and a former lawyer for Malcolm X, may have inadvertently given us the answer. In an interview with a local New York City news station, Sutton said that a known radical extremist with ties to the Saudi government personally asked him to help Obama get into Harvard.
I was introduced to him by a friend who's raising money for him. The friend's name is Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour.
This explosive interview and piece of evidence appears to connect Barack Obama to Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, a top advisor to a key Saudi Arabian official and a former mentor to the Black Panther Party. Al-Mansour is a name that most Americans are not familiar with, but he is a familiar figure in African-American communities here in the United States and Muslim communities around the world. Al-Mansour is an author, a lawyer, a Saudi advisor, an Orthodox Muslim, a black nationalist, and an outspoken enemy of the state of Israel. Take a listen to his views on Jewish people.
But the white Jews took over Judaism. And they are the ones who are saying, we want Jerusalem. We want Samaria. We want the Arab land. And they say, when you ask them, why do you want them? They say, God gave it to us. That's a lie.
And listen to what he says about white America.
So white people don't feel bad. Whatever you do to them, they deserve it. God wants you to do it. And that's where you cut off the nose, cut off the ears, take flesh out of their body. Don't worry. God wants you to do that.
That sounds like some of Obama's other friends.
Oh, I am so glad that I got a God who knows what it is to be a poor black man in a country and a culture that is controlled by and run by rich white people.
Before entering Harvard, Obama worked briefly as a community organizer for the Chicago-based Gamaliel Foundation, which is founded on the principles of the radical socialist Saul Alinsky, considered by many to be the godfather of community organizing.
Tell us about, for example, the relationship as it relates to the belief system of Saul Alinsky.
Saul Alinsky is a very central figure in Barack Obama's life, precisely because of his time as a community organizer in Chicago. The community organizing he's involved in, a lot of people hear that, community organizer, they get a very different picture from what this is. If you read Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and Reveille for Radicals, what you find is a philosophy that's very calculating. How can I manipulate people into following a certain course of action that I want them to take? That is his, that's the underlying philosophy here.
This is a formative time in his life. He refuses to answer any questions. His campaign refuses to answer any questions. And the American people have the right, and we must demand to know why he did that. What influences? Was it Saul Alinsky? Was it any other socialist? We know he went to socialist speeches and activities. What were his activities? Who was he associating himself with? And what was he listening to? What were his influences? So those are the questions we need to know before we make an educated decision in November.
Obama's reluctance to talk about, quote, the college years adds to the growing suspicions of many that the Illinois senator has a background in radicalism that he'd rather not talk about.
Keep moving.
And coming up next, Barack Obama, the community organizer. Now, was this the beginning of a grand scheme perpetuated by radicals? You'll be hearing from a man who says it is. And then the senator is trying to hide his ties to Weather Underground leader William Ayers, but we'll expose the truth behind his relationship with the admitted unrepentant terrorist. Coming up.
To master the great